For years, Knoxville has been talking about trying to cut down on vehicle traffic and make everything more pedestrian friendly, more bike friendly. And recently, the city announced a massive plan that will do exactly just that, relying on over $42 million from the federal government, which is only half the cost of the entire Reconnecting Knoxville project. That's what they're calling it. And it is something that really is a once in a generation type of project, talking about taking parking lots and turning them into parks, talking about taking highways and turning them into greenways, and talking about bringing some of Knoxville's African-American history to the forefront of conversations as the city is changing. It's called Reconnecting Knoxville because a lot of parts of the city, from South Knoxville to downtown and East Knoxville, will be bridged again with these pathways after urban removal essentially destroyed entire blocks of homes, churches, businesses in Knoxville's black community around downtown Knoxville. Essentially constructing the James White Parkway and the Coliseum cut those neighborhoods off from downtown and from the rest of the city. And so part of this project is making amends, trying to make amends for urban removal in the 60s and 70s. Part of this project is just to improve the quality of life in Knoxville, right, with new amenities that everybody can enjoy. And I'm excited to talk about it here today on the podcast because, again, it is a once-in-a-generation opportunity. And what we want to talk about today is exactly how this project could change Knoxville. If you want to read about the project, there is a lot of information that I wrote over at knoxnews.com, both about the grant and also just trying to explain a complicated process and a complicated project in a way that's easy to understand for you. But today we're going to talk about exactly what this project could mean again. So I'm Ryan Willis, downtown growth and development reporter at Knox News.
And I'm Brianna Pachorka, photojournalist at Knox News and producer of The Scrappy Stuff.
And because this is a downtown podcast first, I say we start with downtown. And we were talking a little bit about some of the more interesting things that are in this project, which includes a lot of different layers. In fact, it's a 7-phase project that's going to take place over multiple years. Why don't you tell them the first thing that jumped out to you?
And I think this is something that probably jumps out to most people who read your article, and that would be they want to take the parking lot underneath James White Parkway in the Old City and transform it into a new Jackson Avenue Park, which, as I said earlier to you before we start recording, that's kind of a choice, I feel like. I mean, one, you're getting rid of parking, but two, a park under James White Parkway, like, I don't know, like that kind of strange.
Yeah,
you know,
I have to see it, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's like I'm having trouble visualizing it too. I have seen like parks under bridges before where they do like a lot of like cool like art lighting, like artistic lighting, like uplighting the bridge. But I am kind of curious what that's going to be about. And, you know, honestly, I thought that parking lot was probably going to go away anyways when I took a trip to Durham, North Carolina to look at their downtown stadium, which, again, this James White Parkway overpass where the park is going to be is just a few steps away from the stadium. And when we went to Durham to look at how they did things, they had a similar area to that. And what they ended up using that area for was just sort of like staging and storage. I mean, if you're, you know, whether it's like traffic cones that you have to set up for parking or, you know, emergency vehicles, like ambulances need to park just in case something happens during a game. I figured that's what that space was going to be used for, but no, it's a park. And I do kind of like the idea of it just because, you know, if you're coming from the east, you're going to be met with the stadium. The stadium kind of is like a gateway to downtown, but I do like the idea of there just being more green space in a downtown. And if you can make it, you know, where you have a stadium and then a park, it feels more like a sort of an entrance into the city from that direction. But it is going to be different, especially when there's no parking plan for the stadium, that they're going to be relying on other parking lots and parking decks.
Yeah, I wish they had a rendering, just because, like, I can't picture it. And I just want to know, like, what they have in mind for that. I'm just really curious about it.
Yeah, and we have a map over on the website, because a big portion of this project is really, like, greenways and pathways and connecting. Like, the park is a part of it. There are some plazas that are planned along what's going to be called a cultural corridor, which is really exciting, actually. It's essentially the Beck Cultural Exchange Center has identified 10 sort of relevant places in Knoxville's African American history, like the Delaney House, for example, is one of them, where you can walk along a path and along the way there'll be QR codes or there'll be stories or potentially even like augmented reality and holograms that can sort of tell you the history of Knoxville's African American history. But most of this is about pathways and greenways and connecting things. And so if you look at the map, you know, where that park is, there's a greenway pathway that kind of wraps around the stadium site as well. But I think one thing that's just a good time to remind people about, we're talking about reconnecting Knoxville and new amenities, is not only will there be a pathway around the stadium, but from what I understand, the stadium itself will be open when there's not games on. So you have not only a park underneath James White Parkway, but you essentially have a park right next door that's going to be public and accessible. And if you're on your lunch break or you just want to take a walk through, that'll be open. You can walk along the concourse. You can walk around the stadium because there'll be a greenway around the stadium. So that's like three elements that are going into downtown that's really promoting recreation and green space. That's, you know, hard to come by sometimes in a city. So that is really exciting. I think, you know, keeping with downtown, and we'll work our way outwards here in a second, but one of the most exciting things I think for people of East Knoxville is the fact that there will be more connections into downtown that will not have to rely on vehicles. You'll be able to essentially go from the Bet Culture Exchange Center or Morningside Park and be able to walk or bike, not going down, you know, the sidewalks of highly trafficked streets, but you'll be able just to walk you know, along a nice pathway with some green space into Old City, which I think is important when you think about job opportunities. And, you know, that's one of the big things that people have talked about with urban removal in retrospect, is that it's not just cutting East Knoxville off from like downtown nightlife or whatever, or amenities like that. It's cutting them off from job opportunities. And, you know, with downtown, a lot of work is available. And so really being able to think of East Knoxville and downtown, and we'll get to South Knoxville in a second, as you know, not so such separate places anymore, is really going to change the way people think about Knoxville, and it's going to make downtown feel a little bit bigger. I think we talked about downtown growing outwards into neighborhoods over the years. Now it's not only grown outwards, but you are connecting outwards, and now it feels like downtown itself is growing, even if nothing's changed, just because of the pathways alone. And I think one of the more notable things out of this whole entire project is the transforming or reimagining of James White Parkway as a highway into a greenway. I don't know if you saw the renderings, Brianna, but what did you think of that?
I feel like that's just an obvious choice anyway. Like, if you talk to anyone in Knoxville, like, and if you've ever driven on James White Parkway, like, it's not used all that often. I can't think of any time where there's been a ton of cars, but I've seen bikes on there, and it just kind of makes sense to make that partially a pedestrian use.
Yeah, when you see a bike on there, I mean, I don't know about you, but like, I'm like, really? You're like on the side of a highway right now? Like, you got some guts.
I mean, I can't talk crap because I have pulled over on the side of James White Parkway and taken photos of like the skyline and stuff. So I've done that, but I feel safe doing that because, again, there aren't that many cars driving on there.
That is true. You know, even Tommy Smith, vice mayor and a city council representative for South Knoxville, you know, he even talked about whenever they were announcing this project at Morningside Park, that he's like, I'm glad that we're doing this because, you know, I will no longer have to, against the city's ordinances, and this is a city council person saying this, ride these electric scooters on the side of James White Parkway, even though I'm not supposed to, and feel unsafe. So he admitted to doing it. And I think that's an important point, too, is that people are already doing it. And, you know, I don't know exactly what the rules are for riding on the side of a highway on a bicycle. I don't think there really are any, unless there's some signs posted. I'd have to look into that. But it's one of those things where it's like, and I look back at like the Gay Street, the pedestrian experiment where they shut down the Gay Street part of it to vehicles just so, you know, you have pedestrians and see what that could do in terms of supporting business. And we talked about on the podcast, right, that as soon as I went down there, I noticed people walking out of bars with beer, and that's just what's going to happen. And at that point, you know, I think we talked about on here, was like, okay, this is going to happen. If we close the streets down, people are going to bring alcohol outside of the businesses. So how do we then adapt to make sure that that's safe? And so this, even though this isn't, like you said, it feels safe because there's not that much vehicle traffic on James White Parkway, it's one of those things where people are already doing something that may be viewed as unsafe. Even if there's not vehicle traffic, you're still walking on the side of a highway. So if people are doing that, how do we make it safer for those people? And I think the idea that they have with the pedestrian and the bike pathways is an exciting one. I think one of the most exciting parts is that vehicle traffic is still going to be able to go in both directions. No lanes are being lost, which I know not many people use it. I use it like every day. If you live in South Knoxville and you're coming from downtown or coming from out west, you take James White Parkway and get off Sevier Avenue or Sevierville Pike. It is important for people of those in those neighborhoods. So, yeah, really cool stuff and exciting stuff. And we will see and be sure to keep you updated as this project moves along. So James White Parkway will end in one direction at the Urban Wilderness Gateway Park. But as it goes into the other direction, essentially, you know, it's sort of bookended by that park and by Morningside Park. And I think that is one of the more interesting things that's coming out of this project is Morningside Park, I feel like, could potentially be more of a... I mean, you talk about Lakeshore Park being the flagship park of Knoxville, but if you talk about, you know, sort of downtown Knoxville in the center of the city, I could see Morningside Park becoming like a even more popular spot. Do you go there often?
I've not, but I've driven through there, and like there's a disc golf course, which is a very popular thing here in Knoxville, and it's a nice big green space, and it's always fairly quiet over there. So yeah, if you have the greenways around there and it's easier to get to it, I can see more people, you know, discovering it and wanting to go there more.
I think just kind of like everything is aligning right now where Blue Cross Blue Shield invested like millions of dollars into Morningside Park to make it a, I can't remember what they call it, like a healthy place park where they have, you know, more trails and more playgrounds and fitness equipment and all kinds of things to really take that park to the next level. They added trails. And so there's trails that already exist within the park. Those trails are going to connect to other trails. And I think the reason that Morningside Park is going to be such a big deal is because if you look at the map of where all these different trails are going, which includes, you know, connecting to First Creek at Austin, which is an affordable housing site, as well as three other affordable housing sites, connecting to Beck Cultural Exchange Center, connecting to South Knoxville's Urban Wilderness Gateway Park, connecting to the baseball stadium. If you look at it kind of, oh, and Knoxville Botanical Gardens to the east. If you look at that map, really the most centralized place on that is Morningside Park. And so between the renovations that have happened to Morningside Park and then now adding in the fact that this is going to kind of bridge all of Knoxville together, I think it's going to become a really important piece of Knoxville's sort of recreation offerings. And, you know, just to wrap things up, I guess, going back to Knoxville Botanical Gardens to the east, I'll put it this way. Like, when I found out about this project, we were actually first to report it over at Knox News because the federal government released their grants. And they announced that the city was waiting until later in the day to announce it, but we got to it first. But when I actually went out to the city event and I was going to Morningside Park, I had never really been there before. And I put it in my maps and said a 4-minute drive. And I'm like, wow, 4 minutes, but I have to get on James White Parkway. I have to turn right onto, I don't know if that's Hill Avenue. Then I have to go like through three stoplights and then turn right again. I'm essentially making a big circle to get somewhere that's not that far away from me. If you looked at it, you know, as the crow flies, I guess, as they say. So the fact that I can get to it now without having to get in my car, I think that is one of the most exciting things about this entire project is that things are appearing to be closer now, even though they're not moving. They just seem like they're closer because they're easier to access. Same thing with Knoxville Botanical Gardens to the east. That is a lot closer, I think, than some people realize, but it's not so obvious how you get there. I think you have to get in a car to go there.
Yeah, it's not as accessible right now, it seems like.
But it is close, yeah. And that's the thing. And it's like, you know, and that's something that you've seen with the urban wilderness. Like, there is a lot of really cool things in the urban wilderness. What makes it the urban wilderness is the fact that all those things are connected and it feels like it's one, you know, unit of an amenity. And I feel like the same thing is going to be happening here with reconnecting Knoxville, which is part of what makes this project so exciting. And again, 7-phase project. There's a lot of stuff in there to digest. I tried my best at knoxnews.com to explain it in a way that's easy to understand, and I'll be sure to link to that story in the podcast description. Also in the podcast description is a link to both the Urban Knoxville newsletter and the Urban Knoxville Facebook page. Both are free resources to help you get even more involved in the downtown discussion. And before you log off, go ahead and hit that like or subscribe button on whatever platform you listen on to make sure you get a notification every time a new episode drops, or just come back on Tuesdays. You've been listening for a while, or if you're just listening this week and you really love the show, go ahead and leave us a review, a 5-star rating, if you would. Tell us what you like about the show, what you'd like to hear us talk about next. Again, we will be back again on Tuesday with another episode of the podcast, which is brought to you by KnoxNews.com. So head on over to subscribe.KnoxNews.com to take advantage of our latest offers and get even more information and knowledge about everything happening, not only just in downtown Knoxville, but in Knox County, across East Tennessee, everything from business and politics and growth and development to sports and entertainment and nightlife and education. Anything you could possibly want to know about will be available at Knox News. So go ahead and check it out. Don't want to miss those offers, and don't want to miss next week again. So make sure you are signing up for notifications and make sure you're checking back in on Tuesday. We will be here with another great episode. And as always, until next time,
stay scrappy.